CSA has an amazing collection. We have works dating from the 1850s to works commissioned through our art and architecture program that we're installing now.
I've been in the administrator's office, and she has some marvelous work there. So you manage all that kind of thing, all those kinds of things.
Yes. We have a large part of our collection is work that was done under the New Deal Arts programs. And those are both all the permanently installed works. For example, as you're going along Constitution Avenue and you're seeing sculptures on the federal buildings, the murals in those buildings, but it's also portable paintings and prints. And we have thousands of prints which are on loan to non-federal institutions around the country.
How does that work?
It actually started in the 1930s as the government was paying artists to produce artwork. The artwork was then given on loan or allocated to museums, libraries, historical societies, universities, and we just maintain those loans.
It seems like that would be a task almost tracking where all those things end up.
It's nightmarish. But we actually have somebody, and we've made a great effort, largely with the support of our Office of the Inspector General, to keep an accurate inventory of those works, to keep up contacts with all the institutions. And now every 5 years, we renew the loan agreement. And in the past few years, we've uncovered maybe an additional 8,000 to 10,000 artworks that we didn't have a record for.
Really?
By reconciling our federal inventories with institutional inventories.
Wow. Give us an idea, because I as I say, I've been in the GSA administrator's office and really some spectacular work in her office.
We have work by all the major artists from early when the federal government began building buildings through the Beaux-Arts period. We have all these Daniel Chester French sculptures. We have major muralists from the Beaux-Arts. In the 30s, we have works by John Stuart Curry, Grant Wood, a number of artists who then became abstract artists subsequent to that.
Do you have a particular favorite piece of all the things that you've seen that GSA has?
No.
No, there's no favorite child amongst them?
If there were, I probably wouldn't talk about it.
The other artwork might feel bad.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's a marvelous collection. It's a wonderful document of American taste, of American culture. It's the record of our past. And the fun part is we're continuing it as we commission new works for federal buildings.
And how does that process go about? How do you commission work?
We do it through our art and architecture program, and anytime there's a major remodeling, renovation of a federal building, or we're building a new building, 0.5% of estimated construction costs, so it's a minuscule part of the overall budget, but that amount goes to commission artwork by American artists.
Wow.
So it continues the dialogue.
And so is there a competition for getting who gets selected?
Yes, it's done obviously through a federal procurement process.
Yeah.
But we set up panels, advisory panels for each project that include both community representatives, the architects, the client agency, whether it's a courthouse or a federal agency, they have somebody participating. We have participants from GSA and then some arts professionals. And they discuss what sort of artwork or artist might be appropriate, but it's open to any artist.
Wow.
And we maintain a registry of artists.
And is that online somewhere where people can check it out? Wow.
Yes. If you go to gsa.gov, Art and Architecture, you'll find the artist registry form.
Wow, fantastic. And so tell us, how did you end up in this job? I mean, did you, no offense to GSA, but most people outside of the Beltway go GSA and they don't know what GSA is. So I imagine in the art world, it's not something that immediately comes to the top of the mind of where people, you know, they say, oh, there's the dream art job. But it's a pretty cool place to work.
Well, I have to say, after I told people about it, everybody says, boy, do you have a great job.
Yeah.
And I think I do.
Yeah.
it's not the place one would normally go to look for art, except it makes sense. We have all of these buildings, and the nation's been committed to including the arts, and so this is where we've done it. And we're just not giving artists money and saying, go out, create what you want. It's a commissioning process.
Yeah. And I imagine that even still, you get people, you get those curmudgeon people who say, what do we need art? And, you know, why are we spending money on art? We have a deficit or whatever. We shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. But I know there are a lot of surveys that show, you know, how you feel about your building. And it has an impact on how you look at your work.
It has an impact on your building. I think that quite often communities become quite proud of their artwork. And I recount a story. I was in Chicago, and there we have the wonderful complex of Mies van der Rohe buildings. And in the plaza is Alexander Calder's Flamingo, which is basically the first major sculpture in the most recent phase of art and architecture. And I was on a bus that had to take an odd route, and I didn't know quite where I was going. And these women on the bus said to me, oh, when you get off the bus, you have to go down the street to see our Calder. And I thought, that's wonderful. They saw it as theirs because it's so much part of the fabric of the city.
It almost becomes part. And all of a sudden, when something like that changes or is missing, people notice. They miss it.
Absolutely. And we get calls all the time. Quite often now, as cities or agencies like hospitals, libraries, had buildings that included new murals from the New Deal.
Yeah.
And as those buildings are being torn down, or cities no longer can support the agencies and so they're going to private developers, we get calls all the time from people saying, can you save our artwork?
Hmm. Do you have the ability to do that? If somebody calls you and says something like that, do you have a way of dealing with that? How do you deal with those kind of issues?
If it's a federal building, yes, because it's in federal ownership. But there were instances where those buildings basically went out of federal ownership, and it included the artwork. So we don't have direct title to them. If they wanted to make them a gift to the government, then we could look at rescuing them.
And you mentioned that people, when they talk to you, they say, hey, really a cool job. But most people probably go, hey, I didn't even realize that this was something the government did.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But there are a group of us here knowledgeable about art and collections management and art history, and our jobs to both take care of what we have, interpret it, and share it with the public.
So does a GSA administrator, when Martha Johnson got her job, does she get to choose amongst the art for what she'll put in the administrator's office?
We have, everybody visualizes a, sort of this treasure trove of art, which isn't really the case. But basically, all of our artwork is intended for the public. And we make two exceptions. We put artwork in the GSA administrator's office and the Public Building Service Commissioner's office.
Great.
And other than that, and we give them a range of works that are available that are not promised to another institution or not going into an exhibition, and that have been conserved and are ready to be seen.
Amazing. And not the exact location, but you must have a place where you store a lot, because you don't have space for everything, do you?
Well, there's never that much in storage.
Okay, good.
But we do have a storage facility. If we're working on a building, sometimes we have to remove artwork while the construction work is going on. We conserve it, and then we bring it back.
Yeah, art shouldn't be in storage. It needs to be out. It needs to be seen.
Absolutely, and that's our policy.